Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez. I'm a little nervous about the show today. We've got a Stu, Jason, and Jeffy on set. You never know what's going to happen when these three get together. And Stu, I will say, I'm going to ask you what your top story is, but I also want to tell you, thank you so much for prying yourself away from opening day coverage to do the show today. We really, really appreciate
this
it.
This is the opening day for America's team, the Toronto Blue Jays, so I was very much in tune to the start.
No. Mm-hmm. What's your top story?
Apparently the media can and will say anything. They don't care how close it is. They'll change the definitions of words. They will say literally everything, and we have a couple of examples of that.
Now, we've surmised this before. I mean, is it fact now?
I just, you know, sometimes stories hit you, and you're just amazed that they'd even try it.
Yeah.
And they tried it today.
Jason.
The mother of all migrant caravans.
Ooh. Again, that, with the migrant caravans?
That's literally its nickname. I think that they actually named it over there, is the mother of all migrant caravans.
Well, that would be Madre then, not mother.
That's a good point.
Idiot.
But I can't say, you can say Spanish. That, but I can't appropriate that.
All right, Jeffy.
I want to talk about the Pope. I'm still fascinated by the Pope and his reaction to his meet and greet the other day.
Oh, all right. A lot to get into there. First,
we want
to thank our sponsor, Relief Factor. Relief Factor is great for those of you who just live in constant pain all the time. Stu, I always forget the percentage of people who just live, was 60-something?
Something like, two-thirds of people who live with pain every day basically just give up. They've decided, this is my life, and I'm going to have this pain every day. They're not even
depressing thing.
I know. They're not even trying to stop it anymore, which, you get to the point where I'm sure that's understandable. Yeah. You're just like, this is my lot in life, and I just got to deal with it.
Well, and it's
kind of like your wife, Jeffy.
It's also interesting. You don't realize it until you go through constant pain that it affects every single facet of your life. Like, you don't want to do anything. You're grumpy with your family. You're just in a bad mood all the time.
You're hitting home.
But Relief Factor can help with that. So Relief Factor tackles the inflammation. It's 100% drug-free. I know it's done wonders for Glenn. It's worked for me as well for my back issues that I have. Jason's had great results on it. We're all using it. It's working for us. Try the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. 70% of the people who buy that go on to keep purchasing it. It's working for that many people. It can work for you. Go to relieffactor.com to get that quick start pack. Stu.
So the media does a lot of spin, as you may know.
What?
Occasionally they will spin issues into their favor. I know. It's crazy to hear. And it's something that you kind of expect at this point. And there's some attachment to reality that usually exists. Like they might disagree with your analysis, but they're using, some facts or the story. They'll tell it in a way that just tilts it a little bit. Every once in a while, though, it just gets frustrating when they will just literally do anything. I mean, they will do anything to try to convince you. Yeah, it's so blatant. And a couple examples of that today. First of all, let's start with socialism. Now, socialism's been big in the news because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others are talking about it. And a lot of people are mentioning in response to that, a lot of bad things have happened in socialism. The Big Black Book of Communism, if you ever read that, outlines about 100 million killed. And they don't really include the Nazi regime in that. Nazis, of course, famously fought with communists, but they were national socialists. That's the party, of course, that they were.
Isn't that what Nazis stood for?
Yeah, I mean, it was the NSDAP, right? This is the National Socialist Workers' Party. This is what they were. And, of course, you think, well, getting tied to Hitler, not always good for a burgeoning movement. Sometimes it's negative. So Vox stepped to the plate to defend socialism and gave you this magical headline, Adolf Hitler was not a socialist. Now, that is a hell of a thing to argue.
This is for real.
Yeah, you'll notice, of course, first of all, that they are very specific here, and they use Adolf Hitler was not a socialist, not that the Nazis were not socialists. So they're trying to draw a line there. Mm. But of course, Adolf Hitler was one of the first members of the Nazi Party. He implemented all sorts of socialist plans. I went back and looked at the 1920, the 25 planks of the Nazi Party, the original 25 planks of the Nazi Party. In there, you had outlawing landlords, so you could no longer be those evil landlords. If you ever go to New York, they are always talking about those evil landlords. They had guaranteed jobs and food with a living wage, always a big thing. They had no profiteering on war. which is something you always hear from the right. Then you have nationalizing big companies and big industry. So think about that. Taking the, I don't know, means of production and moving it to the national level. You had government taking profits from corporations. You had expanding old age welfare is what they called it. And on and on and on and on and on. The point is they had a big formation of their party was based on socialism. It really was a dual thing. And I think there are arguments to, you know, if you read Hitler Ascent is a really good story about how Hitler and the Nazis came into formation and their first years in power. And there was disagreement. Like, I mean, National Socialism, there were two planks of that party. If Hitler had to pick, if he was in the draft of what he wanted out of the Nazi party between nationalism and socialism, first round pick is probably nationalism. Second round pick is probably socialism.
Still, though.
Reverse of Goebbels, who, not only was Hitler's most trusted ally, but also his hand-picked successor at chancellor, right? Like, this was the second Nazi, basically, and he was a huge, he believed socialism was much more the answer. And, you know, as time went on, we know that number one concern of Adolf Hitler was he did not like Jews very much. I don't know if anyone noticed this. Big-time racist, loved the war stuff, lots of killing of people. And he downplayed other planks of his party as he went through. I mean, he was also a really big, the party was very much a big environmentalist party. And people were like, well, they weren't an environmentalist. I mean, if you look at what they did, they were environmentalists through and through until they got to the point that they really needed tanks. And then they started rolling over lots of trees. I mean, they didn't really care about it at that point.
There's a reason why Hitler was buddies basically with Stalin back in the day. I mean, they basically had the same system. The only difference is that one was National Socialist, the other was International Socialism. Mm-hmm. Their core belief on their economic system, just they had differences on like leadership and how that would run.
I love the specific of Adolf Hitler was not a socialist. So, I mean, that is an Obama headline.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a real justification. Yes, Adolf Hitler did have priorities that I would say were higher than his economic ideas. Ideology. I think that's pretty clear, but his economic ideology was clear and true socialism, and they voted with the communists. I mean, they fought, but you know, similar groups, I don't know if anyone's noticed this in the Islamic world, similar groups fight pretty passionately against each other, even though they're both Islamic. Are they fighting? Well, you know, the Shias and the Sunnis still fight a lot. You know, this stuff happens. So it's not really a justification there, and to denounce the idea that you can tie National Socialists to socialists, it's one of those things you can't even imagine the media would even try. Let me give you a second example.
They weren't done.
This is another one. Yes,
there's more.
There's more. The Economist had an interview with Ben Shapiro.
Gosh.
Now, Ben Shapiro is, we love Ben Shapiro here. He's a really smart guy. And you know, if anything, you know, he's a very, he's an ideological conservative, but very much not alt-right. That is not who Ben Shapiro is by any means.
Any stretch of the imagination.
But
they attack him nonstop. They hate him.
He's one of the biggest victims and targets. He was the biggest victim of anti-Semitic attacks in the 2016 campaign. He is attacked constantly by the alt-right. He has a new book out, which was just number one on the New York Times bestseller list, so congratulations.
He's an Orthodox Jew, for crying out loud. How do you mess this up?
I know, it's unbelievable. Anyway, here's the headline, in case you missed it. Inside the mind of Ben Shapiro, the alt-right sage without the rage.
Hey.
That is unbelievable.
Now, I don't know. It's The Economist. Maybe they just don't even understand the words they're typing because, you know, they don't understand
well,
American
culture.
Well, I
feel like
if you're going to type words and be some sort of
publication, you should definitely know what they mean.
Yeah, and Ben was pretty pissed off about this because throughout his book, he attacks the alt-right. I mean, he calls them racist. He calls them all sorts of things because he is absolutely not a member of the alt-right and is not friendly to them. He's not even, I mean, there are some people that are conservatives who, you know, because of, they believe there's an association, particularly in the voting with Trump. There are times, you know, Breitbart famously called itself the platform for the alt-right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not to say that there's, you know, never a tie between someone who is conservative and alt-right. Sometimes, unfortunately, there has been. I mean, a lot of the people who worked at Breitbart, you know, Milos of the world, particularly in that era, were, you know, I mean, I think pretty much alt-right. But that being said, Ben Shapiro is absolutely not that person at all. And, you know, to say this is completely wrong. By the way, they did wind up eventually correcting it to this. Inside the Mind of Ben Shapiro, a Radical Conservative, which they're still trying to denounce him, but I wouldn't mind that denouncement, honestly.
What does that even mean?
Radical.
Yeah, I mean, they took a beating for that headline, though. I mean, they finally did change it.
They did change it. And look, it's just because Ben Shapiro has a massive following and he has the power to get 10,000 comments about how dumb his story was, so they have to change it. This is, by the way, their editor's note real quick, Jason. It says the article has been changed. A previous version mistakenly described Mr. Shapiro as an alt-right sage and a pop idol of the alt-right. In fact, he has been strongly critical of the alt-right movement. We apologize.
So it's exactly opposite of what we implied in the beginning. Like,
I mean, I would like a more of an explanation on how they decided to call him alt-right. Well, and then we're like, well, like you said, actually, it's just the exact opposite. Sorry about that.
They're not stupid at The Economist. Yeah. I used to read The Economist all the time because it was just, there was a very good insight on a lot of, like, global stuff, a lot of stuff. It was just
Sometimes there is that.
But, like, I read this this morning, and it was all about an interview they did about his book. And they, of course, had that headline, and then the intro was what, like a third of the page. It was quite a long intro, but it was all backing up that title. Mm-hmm. It was going right along with that, and to me, it felt like, hey, we decided to do this interview. We're sorry, and we know you don't agree with it because we don't agree with them. So this is our little, like, you know, pre-apology, and then the interview.
Yeah.
Then you go into the interview. And it's as you think you're about to read, you know, Richard Spencer or something like that after this. And then it's like Ben Shapiro talking about having reason, we need to talk to each other, all this stuff. And it just completely does not make sense. It's almost like a jolt of reality. You're like, whoa, this is not what I expected.
And that's the radical conservative.
Yeah,
the reason and come together. That's very radical.
And if you really see the format of that article, it's a standard journalist trick, right? That he has a somewhat friendly interview with him. I mean, he asks some tough questions and he pushes on Ben Shapiro. But then the intro, which Ben was not present for, is just absolutely trashing him.
Right.
So they trash him, and then they set up this interview, which is like, you know, it was tough questions, but Ben handled them easily, as he typically does. But like, it just, you know, to call Ben Shapiro alt-right, to say that Nazi Party and Adolf Hitler were not socialists, these are things that people who are sane can't say. Like, it's just like, anyone with any knowledge of these topics knows those things aren't true. And I don't know if it's just the hot take world or if it's just the liberal bias world, but whatever it is, it's embarrassing.
It's absolutely intended. And I think it's absolutely intended because there's no way you can actually screw that up. You cannot think that Ben Shapiro is alt-right unless you're trying to classify or put into a group all conservatives into that radical alt-right, you know, group.
Look,
like, that's what they're trying to
people
do.
People have seen the headline, right? How many people saw the actual headline apart from the retraction headline? And how many people started reading the opening disclaimer and went, I don't care about the article.
Yeah, this is what we knew. It confirms that. We're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. People usually read for what, like 6 seconds or something before they move on?
Two?
Yeah. Well, you don't even read, so how would you know?
Jeffy's websites all have pictures.
All right, the mother of all migrant caravans when we come back.
Sometimes videos, too.
Sometimes. Jason, the madre of all migrant caravans is coming.
Right.
What was
for
the
real.
Mother?
I want to preface this with a little pre-thought. The reason we want the wall.
Hold on.
Preface.
I say preface. What do you say?
I thought it was preface, but I'm going with preface just to be with Jason.
Is this one of those like permit versus permit?
Permit.
Yes.
Yeah, because Glenn says permit.
I know, and it drives me crazy.
I know, and I'm always like, permit. Okay. Permit. I say preface, you say preface.
Preface.
Okay, go.
But you're giving us a preface
it's
of
weird,
a preface.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Anyways.
Now that we've just made fun of you and demeaned you.
Okay, I'm used to it. The reason we want a wall is not because we hate the people on the other side of it. It's not.
Yes, it is.
The reason we, that's what they want us to say, that's what they all want us to think. They want everyone to think. But the reason we want a wall is because we hate our own institutions so badly, our own government so badly, that we don't trust them enough to protect us from something that might happen. Any other eventuality, like a terrorist coming over the border or massive amounts of illegal immigration, we don't trust them to be able to handle that. So let's put up a wall. Let's have the wall so that we don't have to rely on a future government saying, we're just going to do this, we're going to make catch and release even worse, amnesty, all this stuff. The wall makes it to where we don't have to worry about that as much. Still have to worry about it, but not as much. So it's not about hating the people on the other side of it. It's about not trusting our own government. And this is one of the reasons why we should really be continuing this fight, in my opinion, to get the wall. The madre of all caravans is forming right now in Honduras. It seems like every once in a while there's always another caravan of like 2,000 people. I remember when the first one was like, very first caravan, I think, was 1,000 people way back like in the spring, last spring, a year ago. It was like 1,000 people.
But they never made it. Yeah. They never made it.
They never made it, but it sounded crazy. It was like, oh my gosh, 1,000. Then it like got up to like 2,000 for this last, you know, few, like right before the midterms. 20,000 people are now congregating, grouping up, getting organized, meeting in Honduras, and just about ready to step off and take the same route they did before.
I mean, that truly is
20,000.
That's an invasion.
20,000. There's military units that are about like brigade, battalion size. That's over a battalion. Yeah, that's a couple of battalions that are about ready to march through and try to get through the border. 20,000.
But they're children.
And at this point, it's a lot more coordinated and organized. Like, they've got the whole supply train. You saw them before where they're jumping on trucks, doing that. They literally have a little route where they go from city to city to city where they know they're going to get protection. They know they're going to get help from, you know, various transportation companies that will help take them and bring them up to the border. 20,000. Now, I want to couple that with a story that I saw yesterday where over the past 2 weeks, 24,000 border crossers, whether they did it illegally or they got across through some other means, were let go from ICE and basically the catch and release program. They got over the border, ICE processed them, let them go, 24,000. Uh-huh. Now, the way, if anyone doesn't know how that system works, the catch and release, basically, we don't have the means to keep that many people. So they catch them, they process them, they give them a little card or letter that says, you will come back, you know, you got to do a scout's honor and the secret handshake, so we know we got you then. And you got to come back to the courthouse on this date, like 3 to 5 days.
So surely they come back
on
that date.
Of course they would. Yeah. So the vast majority of them, I can't remember what it was. I was talking to Congressman Gohmert a while back because we actually saw this happening when we went on the border a couple years ago. But it's
a large significant percentage that doesn't come.
Insane.
And it's not even, a lot of times, it's not just a few days, too, isn't it? Sometimes it's months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just go roam the country.
Yeah, yes.
See the sights. Yeah.
Well, they don't do that. I mean, they would just stay close to the courthouse. Duh.
Over the past 3 months, it's been about 108,000 people that have been caught and then released and then are now just out like the wind. Now, just think about how it's progressing. Now we have, so that was 20,000 over the past 2 weeks. We now have 20,000 people that are just about to start making their way up to the border. 20,000.
I mean, go ahead.
And I was just about to say, like, Mexico, you know those, you know, like when they were the last caravan, when they were like in Tijuana and they were kind of in those camps. Well, many of those people were just let go. They were taken to other facilities like warehouses where Mexico could provide some stuff for them. Then they just let them go, which is exactly what they want. So as long as Mexico keeps doing that, that's exactly what the caravan wants. Mm-hmm. As long as they get there, they get processed, whatever, then let go. Then they can attempt to cross the border without all the media exposure and hoopla. Then they can cross over secretly and quietly. Yeah. Get caught, then they're set, then they're let go, and then it's on them to go link up with family members or friends or whoever.
And it appeared that that's all the cities wanted in Mexico, right? They just didn't want the people to stay there. They didn't want them in their cities.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't care, you know, where you go. You just can't stay here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That's terrible.
This is going to get a lot worse, and it's going to continue to get worse with the policies that we currently have. I heard the Trump administration is actually not doing anything really to stop it. Like, he was actually ramping up catch and release.
Well, I mean, the quickest path to the wall actually being built is a video of 20,000 people trying to cross the border at the same time. Because that will change the Americans' opinion. And, you know, the fact that, because they don't believe it. They've been saying, you know, the media has been telling everybody
it's
that these things aren't even real.
It's a crisis.
Right. It's not a crisis, except when they say it's a crisis. Because when it benefits them, they do say it's a crisis. But, I mean, when it comes to the catch and release part, I mean, they've been beaten down in the legal system. They've lost almost every one of these rulings. You know, so, I mean, look, the border thing has not gone the way the president wanted it to go. You know, the media has been part of that. I think, you know, court rulings have been part of that. You know, there's no wall. And really, you want to talk about the president getting reelected. You want to talk about the president getting a wall built. I mean, it's a 20,000. The American people would not stand for it. If 20,000 people try to actually do this, because all these caravans have basically been threats, right? They've come up to the border and they've hung out on the other side of the border, and we've created policies to keep them on the other side of the border. And we've seen a few videos where 30 people rush the border at the same time.
Right.
20,000 people do this, like, there's going to be a sea change in the country, and the polls will change fast on that.
So they're just refugees.
Well,
they're just refugees.
They may very
they're
well
searching for a better life.
I'm
You're going to deny 20,000 people a better life?
I mean, as Jeffy did quote the philosophers, semisonic. you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Thank you.
I saw a video that kind of, it reminded me of this, Jason. It's from a border town in Texas. I believe the county is Brooks County. Forgive me, I don't know the city. But so if we could play this.
Jeffy did not make it.
So this is a traffic stop, right? So the police have stopped this truck. And as you will see, they just take off, okay? So now it's a chase.
I'm surprised they're gonna chase him, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they choose not to, yeah. So as they're chasing, you know, they're chasing them down. So notice, if you will, whenever he stops,
I think this is a strange driving pattern. The wrong side of the road.
I know.
It's like trying to follow Jeffy to his house.
Oh, we're bailing.
So look how many people come up. Look.
Wow.
Look at that.
How's that even possible?
22.
That is amazing.
22 people.
Dang.
22 illegal immigrants bailed out of one pickup truck on this border town at this stop. 22.
Amazing.
That's
crazy.
That is amazing.
And like, this is where the Border Patrol, like, they get on TV and they're just like, they just can't even, I can't even form sentences because they're just like, I see this every day. What do you mean it's not a problem? Right. I mean, they see this stuff all the time. It's amazing. But I mean, people just don't seem to care unless something like that really does happen.
I saw Congressman Ilhan Omar. She tweeted a picture where it was, I guess they didn't have the room for all the people that crossed over illegally and they caught. And so they didn't have enough room in the detention facility. So they, I guess, made a makeshift thing that was underneath an overpass. So they just kind of fenced it off, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's barbed wire and stuff. And you saw that? Mm-hmm. And she was like, this is white nationalism, you know, like, it actually says that, like, white nationalism. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you literally shot down the bill that you could have signed that provided money to build additional detention facilities, but you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. This is just as bit your fault as anybody else. Absolutely insane.
Well, when she watches the show today, she will hear that. So
she'll know.
Now you know.
Get my around
Omar
back again. Snap.
Back in a minute.
Can't believe you played that video, sir. Why do you hate Hispanics, sir, and the dolls?
Jeffy, could you tell everyone? You happen to have a podcast.
Oh, my gosh, I do.
Would you please tell everyone all about it?
It's called Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Well, why is it called that? I don't get it.
It's called Chewing the Fat. That's a line where people come together and we just discuss things.
Oh,
I thought... Discuss things. And it's just a coincidence that my face is on a steak and there's a piece of fat running through the face. It's just a coincidence.
Okay.
Pure coincidence. It's available wherever free podcasts are sold, and it's downloaded. You can get it daily. Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
What did you talk about today?
Today we talked about, what did we talk about? I don't even remember.
You don't remember?
What we talked about. I don't remember what we talked about. It's not even, it drops at 5:30.
So it made such an impact on the host of the podcast, it can also make an impact on you.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, Jeffy.
I don't remember.
And if anyone has not signed up yet for Blaze TV, you're missing out. We've got Mark Levin, we've got Steven Crowder, we've got Graham Allen, Chad Prather. We've got this guy over here who's on with Glenn Beck every day.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's true.
Unfortunately for the audience or unfortunately for you?
Yes.
Me being on with Glenn and for the audience, right?
You can use promo code NEWS and get $10 off of your annual subscription. And then that means you qualify to watch our overtime segment that we are about to do right now, talking about Pope Francis.
Oh, and I remember what I talked about. I remember.
Hurry up, you got 5 seconds.
I remember I was bummed out that I didn't win the lottery.
Up next, enjoy bonus overtime content from the News and Why It Matters, available exclusively for podcast listeners and Blaze TV subscribers. Not a subscriber? Start your free trial at blazetv.com.
Jeffy, Pope Francis.
I love
Pope Francis. He's an odd one.
He has definitely been an odd one. And earlier this week, a video was released of him at a Pope meet and greet. He was meeting people after. Some people are fortunate enough to be able to go to the Pope meet and greet. And you're in line to meet the Pope, and you shake his hand, and many people, you know, bow to kiss the Pope's ring. And that's been an ongoing thing for years now, whether they do it or don't do it. And I didn't realize how on and off it was until they released this video of the meet and greet, and he is yanking his hand away from people. If you watch the video, I mean, people come up to the kids and he's pulling it away and going away, and it's really like, what are you doing? People, and of course, in every meet and greet, people want to do extra instead of saying, oh, nope, you're not pulling it out. And he just, now people call me, oh, kiss my hand. Nope, nope, no, you're not. No, you're not.
That's so awkward.
Oh, no, you're not. Nope, not you. Nope, not you. Oh, especially not you. No, 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 not you. Oh, no, no, you're not. And this continues, you know, through the entire length of the meet and greet. Really weird.
You feel the 70 people in front of you not.
That's
like
what
getting,
I was thinking. Like, if you see it happening, yeah. Why are you going to try to do it anyway?
I guess you're from behind. Maybe you can't quite see what's happening.
So I didn't realize what a struggle it had been for the popes and their ring kissing. Because over the years, some popes like it, some popes don't. It's said his handlers say that he likes it sometimes. Other times he doesn't like
That's
it.
That's weird.
And sometimes when you're at a meet and greet, they tell you, there's no ring kissing today. Okay, the Pope doesn't want his ring kissed.
Really?
I read the story.
Maybe he just doesn't like it during flu season.
Well, and now today they came out with why he did that, and they're using, they're using that for
really?
An example. Yeah, it's for people's
that.
Health, and he's concerned about that. Really?
I could understand that. If it's a season where everyone's sick, you don't want a bunch of people.
I know, but if you're in line at a meet and greet for the Pope. You're there to kiss the ring. You're not worried about flu season.
Well, right, but what about the Pope?
You're paying your respect to the Pope.
Well, I'm not saying the Pope cares about them.
No, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, he's just saying that to be nice.
Well, they're putting he's not putting his lips on the ring. Why does he care? It's about the other people.
The other people kissing the ring after each.
He can wash it off. They're going and like lip to lip to lip to lip to lip. I could see that being an issue.
I read this story and they said that some people were saying, well, why didn't he just tell everyone beforehand that he wasn't?
Right, and sometimes they do.
And they actually said that they did say that before
this meet and greet.
At this meet and greet, but. They said it in Latin.
Oh.
So it's like, who? Right. I mean, all of us typically speak like ancient Latin.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Every school kid learns
that. At the end, there was two guys that came up and had their rosaries blessed by him. And, you can see we've all been at meet and greets where everybody, you end up, somebody always wants the extra thing signed and wants the things done. So he didn't want people, kissing the ring, which is a strange thing. I mean, that's been ongoing for thousands of years, you kneel to the king and kiss the ring of the Pope, and to not have it done because it's cold and flu season, I don't know. I don't know that I buy it. This guy is, he's a strange bird.
Well, I mean, there are people who actually care about germs,
Jesse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You may not know this. But
germs are good for you. Play in the dirt once in a while.
I will say, too, Jeffy would know something about this. He actually ran for Pope.
I did run for Pope at one
you
time.
You did?
Yeah, because,
I missed this.
You do not have to be Catholic, amazingly, to run for Pope. Although, my wives have all been Catholic, so it's close enough. I did run for Pope, though, yeah.
And you did you
No,
win?
I did not win. The white smoke did not blow for me. I was very disappointed.
I'm sure
I was already
really close. But really, really close.
I was hoping for it. I'm trying to remember. I believe I was going to go with Pope Fatimus. I can't remember what my full Pope name was. But
well, now I'm really disappointed you didn't win.
I picked one out. I was ready to win. I'll run that Catholic Church hard.
So European Parliament votes to ban straws, plastic straws, knives, forks, and Q-tips by 2021, guys.
That's
they are looking out for their people right here.
Absolutely amazing. We've talked about it going on here in the United States, cities, states. Philadelphia has the straw police. They're going out warning people, and now it's all over the European Union, right? And Theresa May, who doesn't want anything to do with Brexit and wants to leave if they pass her plan for Brexit, wants to start this in the United Kingdom before she leaves. So that I'm wondering if even if they leave and do Brexit, that plan's still implemented. No more straws.
I want to know what's wrong with Q-tips. Like it says plastic straws, knives, forks, and Q-tips. Like that seems like an odd man out.
Those are single-use plastics, though, right? That's what they're made. That's what they're struggling with, single-use plastics. That's what their problem is.
I mean, they've got cotton on the ends, and then...
They're more cardboardy.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's still stuff you're throwing out.
And every time you go to the beach, you're stepping on Q-tips. It's ugly.
What beach are you going to?
Ugly.
Q-tips?
It's ugly, man.
I have to tell you, it's so insane in the UK that when I read this headline and it just said that they were going to ban plastic forks, and I thought that it was because that they could it could be a weapon.
Yeah, no, that's
I was that, like, makes sense too.
Oh, great! Now a plastic fork can be a weapon, right. And you're not allowed to walk around the street with that. That's how crazy the UK is. We don't even know.
I think we're going the wrong way on this. First of all, I will say plastic straws are the devil. They're Satan.
No.
Yeah, no, paper straws. Sorry, paper straws.
Thank
are
you. Plastic yeah, yeah, straws. I was like, what are you
sorry,
talking about?
I said it backwards. Paper straws are the devil. They are straight from hell. And honestly, like, I will legitimately avoid restaurants who try to give them to me because they're that bad. And the I'm 100% behind all disposable cups, forks,
knives,
spoons.
Of course you are, because you hate the planet.
Well, first of all, I do not like the planet. I wouldn't say hate.
It's a strong word.
But I do not like it. I hate going to places. I'd rather a fresh plastic cup every single time is like my dream.
Yeah.
And I also really don't like washing dishes. You know, they talk about this when with recyclables in particular. If you, a lot of people, what they will do is they will rinse out, you know, the thing, and then they throw it in the recycling bin. If you do that, it whatever small benefit
up,
you could
right?
possibly get mm-hmm. from recycling to the environment, it actually negates it.
Right.
Because
really?
That's how close it is. First of all, the line is insanely close. It does almost nothing.
Yeah.
And that's only, I mean, now we're seeing that the whole recycling thing is stopping because China won't buy it anymore. So they're all just burning their recycling anyways, which is just a perfect end to the story.
They've been doing that for a while anyway, really. Some of the big municipalities
have
been doing that for
some
a while.
Some have, yeah. But it's been much worse lately.
I will say I have a certain fondness for plasticware right now.
Oh, I love it.
Our dishwasher had a leak. It's broken. And turns out we've got water damage now from it, and we've got to have our whole kitchen ripped out and put back together. But so while the dishwasher, we don't have a working dishwasher, and they said, don't put a new one in until we're finished with the kitchen because we're just going to have to pull it back out again, and it's going to be a big pain.
But you live in the house, right?
Yeah.
And there's no working dishwasher?
Please. Please, I clean the house. So, anyway.
I understand.
Thank you for being on here for the last time, Jeffy.
It's Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. We did.
And so we just had to go get a bunch because we're like, we're not going to wash dishes every single
no
night.
No way.
Hand
That's
wash
crazy.
Them every single night.
No way.
First world
not a
problems,
chance.
Right?
Yeah.
So we just stocked up
Girl,
on
absolutely.
Plasticware at Costco. And
That's
every night.
Those aren't cheap,
like,
by the way.
Plastic, dump it in the trash.
That's
it's just coffee cups that we have to wash now.
Yeah, you just take, I mean, you can have those.
Yeah,
I know,
those too.
I need to get some.
Take them,
absolutely.
Finish, throw them out.
Styrofoam.
That's America. Thank and you. By the way, Styrofoam's another one. Like, I will absolutely frequent restaurants that serve Styrofoam cups. I can give you a few of them right now, Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
I'll give you, you know, one of my favorite, the best cup in the business is... What's that?
Yeah.
Whataburger. Whataburger does.
Bar none,
they do good.
The
they're good. I will say the best one is the Schlotzky's actually is the best cup
That's
of the business.
So nice.
Schlotzky's has a fantastic styrofoam cup, which is thick, and it's not like some of the they make the styrofoam too thin and it like folds when you hold mm-hmm. the cup too tight.
Yeah.
This is perfectly formed.
You generally hold your soda cups way too tight.
Well, you
put it in the holder. You want to be able to grab it and pull it out of the holder when you drink it and grab
sometimes
it.
Sometimes if it squeezes a little at the top, like the cap will kind of pop off and stuff. Trust me, I drink a lot of soda.
I know. It's a soda cup connoisseur here.
There is a science. And then you have to work out the ones that don't do that. You have to remember how to grab those properly so it doesn't spill all over you. It's agonizing.
I'm with you on this, Jeffy. I support this analysis.
Chris Evans.
Oh, my gosh.
Captain America. Good old Captain. There are a couple things with him. First of all, he came out and said he might cut ties with his good buddy Tom Brady because he supports Trump. And then I also
Tom
read...
Tom Brady is so devastated.
I know. What is Tom Brady going to do?
He has
what
nothing
is he
going for
do?
Him anymore. I don't
no
know.
No fallback plan.
Wow.
No fallback plan. He was known always as friend of Chris Evans.
Right.
Now who's going to know who he is?
Right. Devastating.
And also I read an article on The Hill that he is also starting his very own political website.
Oh, right, because Captain America hasn't been political enough.
Someone finally. In Hollywood finally is telling us how they feel
finally.
About politics.
Yep. I was just saying we need somebody else to come out and do that. That's so brave of him.
It
you
is.
Know? None
right?
of them will do that. I mean, it's just the bravery is hard to really fathom. Fitting to the character that he plays, I have to say. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
You know,
it honestly, it makes me not want to go see those movies anymore. It really
they
does.
They suck anyway.
Gosh. No, yeah, I'm excited for Endgame.
Oh, they do.
You can't think that
way anymore. I'm excited for an end. I'll tell you that.
No kidding. Whether it's 3 hours or not. 3 hours and 2 minutes, by the way.
3 hours and 2 minutes. That is, I mean, we should shut it's down awesome. As a country if people go see that movie.
I know. And I don't want to hear about it so good because people binge shows all the time for more 3 hours. Yeah, because they can pause it and go to the bathroom. not at the theater, my friend.
I hope Chris Evans is an anomaly. I really do, because I thought it was going to start scaling down. Because it's amazing that they think they can still talk about politics with how outed they've been over the past, 6 months or so?
Do you remember in 2015 and 2016 all of the commercials that they did? Remember where they would repeat themselves?
Yeah.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
No, it doesn't work. Although it's a little hard for Republicans to complain about celebrities in politics at this very moment. Maybe not the best moment for this level. Why? I mean, I don't know. I noticed
one. What could you possibly mean, still?
There might be one in the White House who is with absolutely no political experience that became president of the United States as a Republican.
President Donald J. Trump.
Exactly.
Oh,
which I know you've been with him since
with
the beginning.
100% from the beginning. I don't know why this.
I mean, it's like, I think it is one of those things. I remember, I think it was Laura Ingraham who wrote a book a while ago called Shut Up and Sing. And then she kind of came back with that criticism of, what is it, Shut Up and Dribble or something. And she got
LeBron James.
And it's like, I actually, like when that book came out, I was like, I just don't want to hear from any of these people. And then I realized that every time someone comes out and says something conservative, that's a celebrity, I like it. So I realized it's actually not true.
That's my thing. Is like
I don't think it's true.
I don't necessarily mind. I don't think that they should not share their opinions. It's just annoying that everyone has such a strong opinion about politics.
And it's all aligned on the same side.
And that's all they want to talk about.
Right,
like,
right.
If you go to like a press junket where they ask a question about a movie, they're like, yeah, it's a really good character, but my activism is what I really want to talk about.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's the thing. It's like every rich businessman wants to be an athlete and every athlete wants to be a rich businessman. It's like, you know, it's like, that's just who we are. We always want, the grass is always greener to everybody. And it's like, you know, you're a big celebrity, you have the best life in the world, and all you want to do is blab about politics.
Right. If I have tons of money like that and I'm in movies, all I'm doing is watching sports and talking football.
I also don't
that's all want I'm talking
to take the
about.
Risk of alienating 50% of my fans.
But see, that's where I'm at, and I don't think that they see it that way, though, right? They must not see it that way, of the alienation.
They'll just get more support.
Yeah, I see it like you are alienation. Why, I mean, if you're working for me from the movie industry and you've made a movie for me, I don't want you alienating 50% of the people.
Yeah, and they don't have to live with the consequences of alienating that other half when they live in Los Angeles.
Right.
Because literally, if you're a Trump supporter, you live in Los Angeles and you're a movie star, you go to the grocery store, you're going to get destroyed. Mm-hmm. You're going to get egged. Who knows what's going to happen to you? So they are in the perfect safe space. Everyone agrees with them.
And they've all said, I've already got my check.
Yeah.
I don't care. I can say what I want. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to hear, I don't know if, I guess the movie company hasn't commented on it. I would love to hear if they had any opinion.
We're fine. We believe that Chris is a fine actor. He's done a great job for us, and what he does in his personal life.
Oh, they'll love it.
All for Chris.
They'll love it.
You think?
Oh yeah, because he's a known critic of Trump. He's a known critic. Yeah. So if he says he's doing
but again,
website,
I mean, I wouldn't want someone in my movie alienating some of the people who might come see my movie.
LA producer could not give a crap.
Yeah, don't go.
They're saying though. What are they saying? They're saying, you know, this is important. Even if it does hurt me, I'm still going to do it. Yep. I mean, they all convince themselves that. Now, if their career goes down in flames, they usually will reconsider that. But I mean, generally speaking, there's not going to be any consequences from anybody. I mean, the bottom line is if they're the best actor and you enjoy their movies, you're going to go see them. And honestly, that's how you should live.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I don't like the world where everybody that says something that we don't like, even if it's really annoying, you don't need to boycott everybody. Just live your life. You make your own decisions. You don't
want to see the movie.
Boycotts.
Yeah.
Boycotts.
I'm there.
Not a single Democrat voted in favor of AOC's Green New Deal was the poll from yesterday. Were you surprised? 81% of you said no, 19% of you said yes.
Wow.
And today's poll question, all of the Republican members of the House Intelligence Committee called for Adam Schiff to step down for his role in spreading misinformation about Russian collusion with Trump's campaign. Remember, he said that he had direct evidence of collusion Where did that go? We don't know. It just vanished into thin air.
Well, they all got bad information. They were all dealing with false information. They weren't aware that it was false at the time.
And their statements within that were pretty hardcore. They were basically insinuating that all the things that he was like insinuating, you know, in the while he was talking about, you know, collusion, the direct evidence he had, they would say at the same exact time the media would get reports saying our unnamed source, high-level intelligence unnamed source tells us this, and it would be the exact same thing. Yep. So they're saying he was leaking all this all this false information out to the press.
Yeah. So do you think he should step down? I mean, I think that's a kind of a two-parter. Do you think he should step down? Yes. Is he going to step down? No. Right? I think we can all agree on that.
So, I mean, we don't need a poll then, right?
Well, I mean, I want to hear from them. I don't just want to hear from you, Jeffy. I want to hear from everyone else out there. So let us know at The Blaze's Twitter. That is at The Blaze. And then today's The Blaze Why comment comes from Boo Cow, Saves 84. Boo Cow was commenting on the poll and said, I've been instructed to always go with
them. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody's listening.
I blame you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you should. I said it. I'm definitely guilty of that one.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.